What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. This edition of 411 Teen welcomes the three candidates for superintendent of Leon County Schools. Patricia Ann Sunday, Forrest Van Camp is not here, Rocky Hanna, Jackie Pons, the incumbent. Student representatives from the county schools, Lincoln, Leon, Godby, Childs, Rickards, and Sale, will pose questions to the candidates for their response on this edition of 411 Teen.
My name is Alvin White. I am the student body president at Amos P. Godby High School. I am in the 12th grade. My question today is, if you feel necessary, what changes would you implement for our students in Leon County Schools?
Well, first let me say it's an honor to be here. You know, I've given my whole career to this school system, 28 years. I actually started teaching and coaching at Godby High School in 1989, so I still have blue in my closet. That's a good question. You know, I've always believed our customers are you, our students and our parents. What can we do as teachers, as school administrators, and others to give you the best possible experience at K-12 in Leon County Schools? I'm a product of our public school system, went to Timberlane, Raw, and Leon. So first and foremost, I think we need to return the priorities of our school system back to the classroom where they belong, with our teachers and our students.
The newest innovation I would like to start would be a trade school at Rickards High School to train our children to become productive after graduation.
Well, again, it's an honor to be here, and thank you for all your involvement in student government. I think one of the things, I've been your superintendent for 10 years. You know, we've got one of the best school systems in the entire state of Florida. And one thing is to continue to make sure that we've been an A or B district 9 out of 10 years, that we continue to have a continuous improvement model, so we're always improving. I'm concerned about safety in school systems all across the country. You know, with what we're seeing going around in our world, one of the things we have is a Raptor system in all of our schools that protects children against sexual offenders and sexual predators. We're adding safety officers to elementary school to make sure they're safer, GPSs on our buses, cameras throughout our school system. So we got to keep focused on safety. And I guess as superintendent for 10 years, you know, from 5:30 to about 8 in the morning, always watch my phone, because if something's happened, that's when I get a call. So, you know, having 35,000 students, I think, just to make sure that we give them the best education and keep y'all as safe as we possibly can while we're doing it.
Hi, my name is Logan Henderson from Godby. I'm in 10th grade, and my question is, many students like my sister had issues graduating. Multiple different reasons for high school students having to drop out or whatever. What different graduation options would you have in place for students who find themselves falling short with an assessment, or what would you have in mind?
I'll go ahead and start. That's my favorite question, right, Rocky? Hey. One of the things we've done is create multiple pathways. And, you know, there is some debate about this around, but we've improved African-American graduation rates 25 points in 5 years, our other graduation rates 18 points in 5 years by using multiple pathways of credit recovery, different type programs. We've got a lot in place now. They cost money financially because you have to pay to offer those programs. We spend about $200,000 a year on Ed Options, which is one of our models. But one of the things we have to do is we have to graduate our students, because if we don't give them multiple pathways, if you fail your ninth grade year, and let's say we have some students that fail every class because of attendance and problems at home, how would you ever catch back up? It's almost impossible. So that's why we have to have these pathways. And if children drop out of school, we pay for those children the rest of our lives, because we know they're going to get involved in crime. We know they're going to get involved in other activities. And making sure that when people do get in trouble, when students do, we have a full-time graduation coach. They're going to come knocking on your door, and they're going to ask you, you know, why aren't you in school? What are you doing? We need you back in school. And Jessica Chapman did that for us through our virtual school, and it's made a huge difference, and we've been very successful in that area.
And he said everything I would say. The virtual schools, I think, is one of the best paths that they have in the school for a child to finish up at home. And then I answered the question a little out of order, because trade schools will help prepare kids to get out of school when you're not going to college. So that's a big one for me.
You know, we have to get away from the one-size-fits-all model. And years ago, I went before the legislature when they were going to try to mandate that every student had to have chemistry and algebra 2 to receive a standard diploma. To me, it just didn't make sense, because we're trying to treat every kid like if they don't graduate and go to college, that they're a failure. And that's simply not true. Mm-hmm. We have to have other programs in the district that make kids want to get up in the mornings, get out of bed, and come to school where they feel engaged. You know, a big part of it is, and superintendents talked about this before, protecting our arts programs. Because a lot of kids get up in the morning to go to their drama class or go to the guitar class, and they aren't running down the hall to get to biology, but they're running down the hall to get to that arts program. So mm-hmm. what programs can we have in our schools to keep kids engaged, so when they wake up in the morning and they go, oh man, I got to go to school today? That was one of the things I used to love about walking the halls at Leon was, you know, how's your day going? Great, Mr. Hannah, it's going awesome. You know, I can't wait for our guitar concert tonight. Are you coming? And just different things we can create in our class, in our schools, to keep kids engaged.
On behalf of 411 Teen, I really would like to extend a sincere appreciation for you all coming, because a lot of these aren't going to be voting for you. So the fact that you're here, you know, says, hey, that you really do care. I mean, often I know you have to talk to those who can vote, but they may not vote. But I think they're important because they're the ones that we're talking about.
My name is Nia Close. I'm the student body president at Lincoln High School. I'm a senior, and my question is, excluding experience working for and in Leon County Schools, what is the one professional or personal quality that separates you from the other candidates?
Excluding experience, I think just my ability to connect with kids. I've been working with teenagers since I was 24 years old. And I would challenge people who do not know me. I've said this before. Talk to a teacher, a parent, or any of the thousands of kids I've worked with, whether it was at Godby or at Lincoln or at Leon over the last 28 years, and ask them what they say about Rocky Hanna and who he is. And before people vote, that's all that I would ask. But I think it's my ability to connect with kids. Kids believe in me, because in my heart, I've been there the whole time. I've tried to my best to engage with students, to make them feel wanted, to make them feel connected, and to make them believe that perseverance will pay off and dreams can come true if they believe in themselves and they never quit.
And I had 6 children that went through these schools, graduating or going through Rickards and Sale, NIMS earlier. And I have vested interest in some of the things that we started when I was on the school board in 88 to help the children now. So I am vested in past things that happened while I was on the school board. So I have a direct interest in seeing some things finished. My 6 children were examples to me of things that needed to be taken care of or changed. So, and as far as my experience, I'm an administrator, and that's what this job entails, administration in the home office. And I'm a writer also. I've authored 4 books, and I think I'm pretty good in literary circumstances. So rewriting some technical manuals wouldn't be too hard.
I think one quality that I have is the way that I want to help those that can't help themselves. That's always been kind of my philosophy in life. And sometimes your strength is your weakness, you know, that you want to do it to the point that sometimes it hurts you and it comes back on you. But if you look at the 10 years I've been here as your superintendent, you know, some of the programs that we put in place are to help those that maybe got behind. I've spent a lot of time with that. You know, we talked about the graduation pathways as one example. You know, we've been ranked as the number one minority school district in the state, high performing, but always trying to come up with something to help those that can't help themselves. And I think the greatest thrill that I have is the 10 years that I've been at graduations, and you get to watch kids come across the stage that maybe had situations that we've all shared, that something happened to that student. Maybe they had an illness. Maybe they got sick. You know, maybe just a family problem, but we were able to help that student get across the stage. And I know we've all done that. And I think that's my greatest strength is always doing that. When I was in first grade, I had a hip deterioration, and I had to wear a brace for a couple of years, you know, and I remember that. And that experience, you know, kind of, I think, shaped my life to make sure that we always reach out and help people, especially those that are down, that need a special lifting, and that we're always trying to – our goal in life is to get up every day and to help each other to succeed.
Hi, my name is Zach Wallerman. I attend Lawton Childs High School, and I'm in 11th grade. My question is, this being Domestic Violence Awareness Month and knowing the effects of high conflict on children's brains, do you have a plan to help those affected students succeed?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion recently in education circles about trauma-informed care and for teachers and administrators to try to have a better understanding of things that are going on in the community and in the homes as we're dealing with students on a daily basis. You know, we talk a lot about the over-testing of our kids, and the superintendent has talked about this before as well, and I totally oppose the number of testing, amount of testing we're doing with our students, all the progress monitoring, the forced lesson plans. The purpose of an education is to educate better citizens, not better test takers. So what can we do to try to push back and fight the legislature and the other outside forces to protect the classroom, to give teachers the autonomy they need to work with individual kids and address their individual needs? And some of that are things that, you know, baggage that they're coming with from home that's tough dealing with. You know, everyone goes through tough times in life. I know right before my senior year, my father suddenly died, and it was a really tough time for me. I almost dropped out of school. But had it not been for some of the role models, some of the coaches, and the principal, Mike Conley, at Leon High School, I'm not sure if I would have finished my senior year at Leon. But we have to understand that a lot of our kids are coming to school with a lot of weight and a lot of burden, and we need to try to have a better understanding. A lot of times these kids, they'll act out, and they're not acting. They're acting out for attention, and it's almost like they're crying for help. So what can we do as a school system to embrace them? We need, I think, more counselors, more mental health counselors that can work with kids on some of these issues.
You tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. You are listening to a special edition of 411 Teen. We have candidates for the superintendent of Leon County Schools and students from the area high schools posing questions. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour we're having students pose questions to the candidates for the superintendent of Leon County Schools. You want to pose your question again?
This being Domestic Violence Awareness Month and knowing the effects of high conflict on children's brains, do you have a plan to help those affected students succeed?
Yes, I have two. One, increase mental health counseling and career counseling from the home aspect of that question. Secondly, from the on-campus aspect of that question, the violence that's on campus and so forth. When I was on the school board in the 80s, we instituted a policy, zero tolerance policy, and we put school resource officers in schools. That has come back around for me to see that we need some changes in that area. For instance, children who are arrested on school grounds for a broken pencil is an absurdity to me. Taken off in handcuffs and put in police cars to go to juvenile justice. Now, I don't think any of you in here have ever experienced any of that, but I know of many students who have. And so I'm all about not arresting kids on campus for any reason other than bringing a gun to school and threatening administrators, teachers, students, that's a big no-no, or rape on the school grounds. Other than that, I think everything should be given the teachers and the principals and the administrators more autonomy in what goes on, violence in the school area.
Two things. First, we've signed a partnership that'll be in place the next school board meeting that's bringing counselors into our secondary schools to make sure that we bring more awareness to this. Another thing I would do is I think we have to make sure that we get our students more involved, you know, from the SGA standpoint on all awareness, because you're the most important messengers we have. When y'all stand up in front of the student body and we talk about friends that we've lost due to drinking at school and driving and different type things like that, texting and driving, you actually can help us with any type of awareness we have. And it's something I probably should have done a better job the last 10 years is to making sure to have you more involved in that. And I would touch on one thing that I think all the candidates have some real good strengths that they bring. We always have to keep in focus, whoever the superintendent is, that you got to be superintendent for everybody. You know, we have gay children, we have straight, we have Hispanic, we have African American, we have everything. Everybody has different needs, and you got to be there. And a lot of our community doesn't realize we've got over 800 homeless students. You know, I've had to go into those homes to visit those students, and some of those have had situations with domestic abuse that have made them homeless, made them leave the environment they're in. So this job is pretty comprehensive. And again, I think one of the things that I think all these candidates would do, and I believe that, is to always keep in focus that our job is to help everybody to be successful. And we're going to have all kinds of situations. I could tell you over the past 10 years stories that would break your heart. But we've got to be able to reach out and help those individuals and keep them in school and provide different opportunities for them and understand, again, like Mr. Hanneman, you know, one size doesn't fit all. And if we have to make an exception, there's not anything wrong than making an exception sometimes to give children more time so we can keep them in school and help them to be successful.
My name is Liliana Shimnick. I go to James S. Rickards High School, and I'm in 11th grade. Recently, there have been many cuts to the arts program in Rickards High School. The band has been basically cut in half, and so have the dancers. What are you planning to do on expanding the arts programs inside of schools? And if not, what are your reasons?
First, I don't know what cuts have been made, because basically our staffing plan that we've given to the schools, we've not made reductions in that. We've kept that pretty solid. So I'd have to see. I think all the candidates that you have up here are pro-advocates for the arts. You know, if you look at what we've all done in the schools we've been in and even in the environment Sunday's been in, we believe in the fine arts. I mean, there was a time we went through the recession when most school districts cut art, music, and PE out of their elementary schools to save money. And I refuse to do that. We refuse to do it because I feel like those are the programs that keep children in school every day. If you want children not to drop out, you've got to offer more art programs. And if you look, I think what you find in our school district, you'll see all kinds of different offerings at different schools. If you go to Leon offers almost everything you can imagine in the arts. Other schools you'll go to have offerings in this, that. But I think the more offerings we have, the better off a school system we're going to have. And we want to keep that going. And also making sure that, you know, I allow the principals to make the hires when there's jobs opening related to a band or a course teacher, is encouraging those principals to get the best leader that you could possibly get. Quincy is an example of an individual that was at Rickards that does a great job with that, and others. I mean, Judy Arthur in our district was known throughout the state. So we've had some of the best in the state, but I think it's got to be a priority, and I think you'll find that all of us will make that a priority as we continue.
And he's right. I believe in the art, music, and PE, and especially drama magnets. I'm all about those. In fact, one of my daughters graduated from a drama magnet as we moved away for a while, and she's actually an actress in Hollywood right now. So I think that, like I said, trades, not everyone goes to college. Some will go into this field or that field, and so trades are very important, and drama and magnets are essential to that.
Yeah, speaking of something that I'm very passionate about, during my time at Leon, we expanded our arts programs where two-thirds of our student body was involved in one of these programs, whether it's performing arts or fine arts. In 2009, I was named the Thespian Administrator of the Year for the state of Florida. So the arts programs, again, those are a lot of the reasons kids come to school, that make them engaged, that make them want to get out of bed to come in the morning. So it's something that I would fight to protect. The first thing on my platform is to eliminate wasteful spending, to push those dollars down into the classrooms and into our schools so we don't have to make the cuts that you're talking about. I would do everything I possibly could to protect those programs because so many of our kids get engaged, and that's, again, the driving force of the quality of an education. I mean, you get one shot at high school, and our job is to make it do the best we can to give you the programs, to offer programs, whether it's the jazz band or the drama, the guitar class, or the AP Latin, that give you the things that you need to make that wonderful experience.
Hi, my name is Savannah Burris. I am the senior class vice president at Sale High School. Most students in Florida feel that they do not receive an adequate sex education because of things like abstinence-only sex education and non-LGBTQ plus inclusive education. If you can change it, what would you change about it?
It's funny that you say that. So my wife, Christy, has been teaching 23 years. She teaches sixth grade science. She taught at Raw, and now she's at Mofford. And after the FCAT, or now the FSA, at the end of the year, she teaches – she's a science teacher, so she does a unit on sex education. And it's challenging, but it's so important and so much a part of what we do as a school, you know, to educate and inform kids. And I think we need to even start younger. I mean, I hate to say that, but I think we need to start at a young age where we start developing good habits and good practices and start thinking about these types of things younger in life. I mean, she's doing it with 12-year-olds, with sixth graders. But I think it's extremely important. But again, it goes back to what is the role of our schools? What is the role of a K-12 education system? I think that's certainly a part of it, above and beyond getting ready to take the state assessments. You know, what do we do to teach kids to become more responsible young adults? Because we're talking about our society, become more productive members of our society. But I think sex ed and drug education on drug abuse and those types of things, we have to find time in the day to reinforce what either is or is not happening in the home.
Well, I'm going to be a lot different. I do not think that we should be teaching any type of sex education in the schools. That's not our role. I don't think that we need to be in anybody's bedroom or bathroom or anything like that. I think that that is your choice. Whatever you want to do, that is your choice. And that choice should be left to you. And that is not our business to tell you whether you should. I don't believe abstinence education has worked at all. I don't think that from things that are going on in our society that's ever worked. So I would just do away with that. You know, we could put a lot of art, music, PE, and other things back into school if we'd stay off that topic.
It's required during our science classes for teaching this, and I think our teachers do an amazing job. We have communication with our parents to let them know what we're doing. And I think the more different offerings we can provide for children, I was thinking about what you were talking about related to issues that children have. It's just like Holocaust education, you know, teaching what actually happened, African-American history. You know, we used to make a big issue about having a week or a month. And now in Leon County, we're rated exemplary, one of the few districts in the state. I think there's 9 or 10, but that we've been able to incorporate into our social studies curriculum year-round. So I think what we've got to continue to do, and I've led this fight statewide, is to stop the over-testing of our students and putting everything so focused on testing, and realize the value of having courses like we can offer, these special courses, these special training and for our students, because they're going to benefit from it. Drug education, you know, we started that now in our HOPE class. And I give – Preston Scott locally came to me, and the Democrat had a week of awareness. And we put this in place. And, you know, there's not any money to pay for it, people would say. And it's not something that the state, you know, is telling you should teach. But what would we pay to save the life of one child? you know, as a community? What would we pay? And if we don't teach the students like you and you don't join with us on this and help us to let students know that, you know, drugs and alcohol abuse are dangerous and we're losing some of our peers, students, our friends. You've lost probably individuals you know. And I think it's a moral responsibility. So that's why we can't allow this legislature just to drive the over-testing of our students. We've got to continue to offer other courses. We've got to continue to teach tolerance. You know, everybody's not the same, and we should be tolerant. And I think that's one of the reasons we currently have the best school system in the state. You're at Sale, right?
Yes.
Sale is an alternative school that's been going on a long time. Roseanne Wood did a great job with that. We've got Sale. We've got another alternative site, Gretchen Everhart, which is an ESC center. I started a school in this 10 years called the Success Academy for children that are behind. We still have our expulsion center open when most districts have eliminated them, so we can keep children and never quit on a child and get that child back in and not put them on the streets.
My name is Catherine Brockett. I'm the senior class president at Lincoln High School, and I'm in 12th grade. My question is, if elected as superintendent, how do you plan to address the policy for school choice and its effects on Leon County diversity?
Well, you know, I will tell you that, school choice is here for real. I mean, there was a time when we could say that we were not going to have school choice and we're a choice district. And what happens when you don't give individuals choice, you fill up your charter schools. You know, you fill up your private schools. And so what I think is very important that we continue to support our neighborhood schools, but at the same time, we must make all of our schools so attractive with magnet programs and other things that children that live in those communities want to attend those schools. And it's a very important issue. And I'll say this as we move forward, that a lot of school districts decide that they're not going to have choice. You know, some have done that. And what they've done is they take all their students and equally divide them among all their schools. Then they put students on buses an hour and a half a day. And that doesn't solve the problem. What happens then, a lot of those parents get very angry about their child being on a bus that long, and they put them in private schools or charter schools. So we've got to be competitive. I mean, the legislature has really given charter schools a huge advantage in a lot of areas. You know, they can build a school regardless of seat capacity. They can put one up anywhere they want to. And as superintendent, when I've rejected them in the past, when our board has, then they can go to the state board and get it approved. So, again, choice is here. You're not going to stop it. But what you've got to do is create programs like we've done at Rickards with the pre-IB, at Godby with the IT magnet, so you can get industry-level certification right there. And what I'd like to do with the new Southside High School is have state-of-the-art courses that are offered, like aviation and IT and things that are going to create high-wage jobs in the future, which will draw other children into that school too.
Mm-hmm. And I'm against charter schools because that takes the money out of our school system and puts it into a private firm that, for instance, one charter school is paying $150,000 to their administrator. That can go back into our school system. Choice schools, I believe in neighborhood schools, but yet I believe that the lines could be redrawn and rezoned a little bit different. I believe that choice should be only for going to either near your parent, where the parent is working, or if the child has a medical necessity to be near the parent, wherever they are, or to go to a certain magnet school, like if I put the trade school at Rickards and you want to go from somewhere else to that school, then that would make a big diversified group of people coming into our side of town where I live on the south side.
You know, the thing is, this is a great question. And the thing I embraced the most during my 15 years as an administrator at Leon was the diversity we had at our school. Our northern boundary was Oxbottom Road. The southern boundary was Orange Avenue. Just think of all the neighborhoods that encompassed. And the kids got it, and it was a microcosm of our community, of Leon County. You have a lot of that same thing at Lincoln. Unfortunately, what I've seen, a lot of our other schools don't, and I'm very concerned with how segregated our schools have become. The superintendent's right. School choice is here. It's a state mandate. The question is, how can we take what's in place with law and statute and give kids options, but yet still maintain diversity that we have at some of our schools. But it's very concerning to me because I think our kids miss out on a huge part of the educational experience in those formative years, whether it's as an elementary school kid or as a teenager in high school. How can we keep programs where we have diversity of all our schools? And it would be a top priority of mine.
My name is Freya Wheeler, and I'm an 11th grader at Childs High School. My question is, across the country, different responses have emerged from school districts and superintendents regarding the implementation or non-implementation of transgender bathroom and locker room policies. How would you respond to this delicate issue?
Well, I've had to deal with it, as you know, here in Leon County. This has come up, and again, I think the statement that you have to stand by is you've got to be superintendent for every child. And when a child comes with special needs that they have or certain things that they need, we solve those problems. And I will say this, and I think most of the candidates agree with me on this, our principals have dealt with this for probably 10 years, you know, or more. I mean, we've had issues like this that come up. Now, what we don't do is go out and publicize them to everybody and let everybody know what we're doing to solve these problems. But we've solved them, and we've worked them out, you know, where situations needs or this individual's needs were met. And we're going to continue to do that. And I've been very strong about this issue, you know, talking about it and making sure everybody knows that our principals will continue to solve these problems and take care of it. And I think our record's been real clear on that.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We are going to take a break, but we'll return shortly. You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're returning to the question to incumbent Jackie Pons.
This is an important issue because the mainstay of this issue is teaching tolerance and making sure that we're tolerant of everything that we see in our schools, that we're there, and that we realize that what makes a school system great is individuality of the students that are there. So I think when we see these issues, we can take these issues and turn them into a teachable moment to make sure that people understand how tolerant we should be and how we solve problems like this. And I just salute our administrators. They've been solving these issues for years, and they're really not an issue because we take care of them.
Yes, I think he's done a good job of that. And I, as you know, I'm a minister, so I do teach tolerance. It's on my sheet. I'm a minister. I teach tolerance for all things and all people, loving all people. So I don't have any problem with saying that we would take care of everybody that needed it.
You know, I've been working with teenagers for the last 28 years, and this issue isn't new. It's just all of a sudden now the federal government decided they wanted to weigh in and push something down onto schools and the local communities. I talked about the diversity we had at Leon. It wasn't just culturally. I mean, I was the first one, and Leon High School was the first school to start a GSA, a Gay-Straight Alliance, and where other principals kind of pushed back and resisted, I didn't. We embraced all of our kids. And what's funny is a lot of times when people find out that I'm in education and I work with kids, they go, well, you know, kids just aren't the same anymore. And they don't mean it in a good way. And then I look at it and I go, well, you hadn't been working with the kids I've been working with, because in a lot of ways you all are so much better than the kids I grew up with 35 years ago and so much more tolerant. When I was a student at Leon High School in the late 70s, it was tough having dark hair and dark skin and was bullied, picked on relentlessly, especially in ninth grade. But we've come a long way as a society, and it's because of you. And it's because of your leadership and your zero tolerance for bullying and your acceptance of others.
Hi, I'm Hannah Kiros from James S. Rickards High School, and I'm the creator of WFSU's Common Sense, 16-Year-Olds Takes on the 2016 Election. And if elected as superintendent, would you lobby for the construction of a new James S. Rickards High School? And if not, how would you realistically propose making a 50-year-old school on a limited plot of land function in the 21st century?
Oh, can I stop?
Sure. Go ahead.
I want to start that one because, see, this is my baby. And when I was when I was on the school board in 1988, not only did I start the IB program at Rickards and the ROTC program, but I also proposed a new Rickards High School. And my proposal was when we would build it on the current fairgrounds, south side of town, very visible plot of land. It already has the fence. It already has the electricity, the water, the sewage. We can build it for a lot less, and we can make a prime, beautiful place visible from the 22nd floor of the Capitol looking south. We can it would be a great infrastructure for our side of town, and I would put that trade school in there, and that way it would give us room to move around schools and get rid of portables.
Well, I've been an advocate, as you know, for the new Southside High School. We're going to get it built.
Yes.
We have been rejected by DOE twice on seating capacity. We have that worked out. The site is still not to be determined. Originally, we put in Tram Road because we could trade for some property there. I'm not as concerned about the site as long as it's in the Southside community and inside that corridor close to Rickards in that area. One of the things to me, it's about equality, and it's about making sure that we can offer some of the new programs that are going to be available that would have the industry level certification, you know, things like aviation, engineering, that would be high wage type jobs. Mm-hmm. Every child that lives in the Rickard zone could go to it. I'd like to have another 300 or 400 seats for other children that wanted to come in. Again, I think for the economic development of the South Side and for making sure that we have the equality that we need to have, this is a very important thing to carry out, and it will happen. Yeah. I really believe it's going to happen. I think DOE will approve it after the election. And again, I think when I talk to, you know, I grew up at Principal of Deer Lake and out in the Childs community, those parents that are big, that are supporters of mine, they feel like that the kids at Rickard should have the same type of high school as they have at Childs or at Lincoln or Leon. You know, they should have that quality of a high school, and we're going to make sure it happens.
Twice now, the Florida Department of Education has rejected plans to build a new school on Tram Road on the south side of town. If I felt as though that there was a need and had been approved, I would support it 100%, but it's not, and it hasn't been. So the question now becomes, what can we do in the meanwhile to make sure and ensure that our south side schools look like our north side schools as far as the facilities are concerned? They don't. I can assure you they don't. I've seen pictures of the gym at Fairview High School, at Fairview Middle School, and the cafeteria at Fairview Middle School, and it looks nothing like some of the gyms and the cafeterias on the north side of town. I would immediately use those resources to make sure, ensure the facilities at all of those schools match what we have on the other part of the community. It just doesn't make, to me, it's not physically responsible to commit $60 million to build a new school, a new high school on Tram Road, where we can use those dollars elsewhere. Brick and mortar do not make a school. I worked in a building that was built in the 1930s. All right. There's a lot of history and tradition at Rickards High School, a 50-year tradition at Rickards High School. We put $30 million into Lincoln about 10 years ago. Lincoln, I taught at Lincoln in the mid-90s. That school, that facility doesn't look anything like the facility I taught in 1995. We can do this, accomplish the same thing at the existing Rickards High School for much less money, and then have resources for Fairview and some of the other schools on the south side.
Good questions. Mm-hmm. They're good. I'm telling you. Y'all have been ready. Homework.
Hi, my name is Reed Worrell. I'm the student body vice president from Sale High School. I'm a 12th grader, and my question for you all is, how do you feel about student self-expression and freedom of speech as far as something like protesting the national anthem goes?
I'll start it out. Well, here's how we feel that as superintendent of schools, you know, you're an officer that must follow the law. You know, you have to follow the law when it comes to expression and other things. I feel very strongly that individuals should stand up for the flag, that it's something that we should take pride in, the military, the individuals that defended our country. But again, it's a situation that this is not new. We've had this happen in our schools for 10 years, and our principals and our teachers have dealt with it. And we've handled this situation by, again, showing tolerance, talking with people, you know, making sure everybody understands. And I think students have the right for expression, you know, to say how they to make sure that they can express the way they feel inside, and that we should respect that. And it should be part of our tolerance as a nation to learn to be to make sure that we're tolerant of other people's feelings and expressions. And again, I'm so proud of the principals. You know, I've hired almost every principal in this district. And I'm very proud of the way they've handled these situations. I'd say 90% of the time they've done a great job with this and to make sure that we do meet the needs of all of our students.
In this country, you have the right of expression, freedom of speech. But you also have to understand what this country was built on and what the people who died for this country, so that you have the right to do that, served our country. I had three brothers in the military during World War II. I'm kind of a baby from my family. So I really am firm about believing that if you have been given the right to opt out of something or believe what you believe, those men that died for you and served our country, you at least could stand up and pledge the allegiance to the flag.
You know, after I graduated from Leon, I left and went to a military school and was commissioned an officer in the United States Army. And as a veteran of the United States Army, it hurts me to watch it. But, you know, that's part of this country. That's what makes this country great, is your First Amendment rights to freedom of speech. It hurts me to see it, but at the same time, we've been dealing with this issue as school administrators for a number of years. It's usually the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, you have, and we've never had an issue. And now all of a sudden, it's become on the national stage because of the national anthem and people taking a knee. And the one thing is, the other part of it is the adults. I used to have to constantly remind my social studies teachers, it's not your job to give your political views and political opinions or expressions to students. You teach them about the different parties or different forms of government, but do not attempt to influence them. So one concern is the adults and how the adults handle it, but as far as the students are concerned, that's what makes this country great, is all of us have First Amendment rights to freedom of speech.
My name is Nia Close. I'm the student body president at Lincoln High School. I'm in 12th grade, and my question is, as superintendent, how will you address teacher salaries? Please be specific. Identify the two major strengths and challenges of the school district currently.
Well, in the 10 years that I've been superintendent, we've increased compensation around $47 million. We need to do more, and we always do, but it's an easy thing to talk about. This is what we're going to do. You know, the problem is, I think I've tried to be an advocate in front of the legislature. If the legislature gives you 1% dollars, it's very hard to turn that into salary increases. So I think we have to continue to be an advocate. While I've been superintendent, we've eliminated about 50 district office positions. You know, we don't have many left out there that could be eliminated, I don't think, even though some of the candidates think they can with that. But one of the things, if we really want to do something about teaching salaries, and I've been up in front of the legislature on this, is the legislature should set a state teaching salary with a guaranteed step every year, and then they would have to fund it. And you know why the reason they don't do that is because they don't want to pay for it. And then they turn around and give superintendents 1% money, and they expect you to try to give a 3% salary increase. Now, one of the things that I remind everybody about, I was superintendent during the recession when we lost $110 million. Broward County gave a 3% salary increase, I think, that year, and they eliminated 1,000 teaching positions. During the recession, when I was there, I made sure our union helped us with this. We did not eliminate positions in order to do something. But our teachers are the bread and butter of our system. We have the best teachers in the nation. And as superintendent, every year you have to be committed to try to get them as many dollars as you can possibly, based on what the legislature gives you.
And that's exactly right. We'd have to continue to lobby the legislature for some funding.
You know, we speak often that we have the best teachers in the state here in Leon County, which I agree. But I think we need to start treating them like they're the best teachers in the state. And I believe there still are opportunities to eliminate wasteful spending at the top and to move those dollars down. Our teacher salaries rank number 42 of 67 districts. Our administrative salaries rank number 9. It should be the other way around. I firmly believe that our teachers deserve better. The morale is at an all-time low. I can assure you of that. Teacher morale is at an all-time low. A teacher's love of teaching directly impacts a student's love of learning. If teachers aren't happy, the students aren't happy, and things just are not going well in a school or in a school system. And I believe we have to return our priorities to the classroom, eliminate wasteful spending, and push those dollars down to the classroom where it belongs. I'm also concerned with the size of our classes. Our class sizes are beginning to grow again. There's a thing called the Florida Class Size Amendment, but yet our classes are growing, and even in elementary school. That also concerns me. But teacher salaries and teacher compensation and employee compensation, even with bus drivers and substitute teachers, that would be priority number one.
Hello, my name is Alvin White. I'm the student body president of Amos P. Gobby High School, and I am in the 12th grade. My question is, what are 5 things you would change in Leon County schools?
5 things.
Y'all want to start?
All right. I've said 1, teacher morale, teacher salaries, the over-testing of students, especially our elementary school students. I'm concerned about the over-testing issue in 8th through F grades to first graders. I would look at the community schools concept to create community schools where we can bring health care closer to our students. I would also go back again and fight for the class size amendment to reduce our class sizes, and then I would look to talk about the school start times, especially with high schools. I think we have to look at school start times, and 7:30 is just way too early.
Okay. Well, I go down a list.
Okay, yeah. Just go down
my
the list.
We're, safe and protected schools.
We don't have very many,
my,
much
my
time.
Second thing is getting rid of Common Core and the testing. Third thing, I want to restore cursive writing to elementary schools so they can read and write in cursive and read our important documents. Fourth, I want an independent review of contracts for all and committees for everything that's done through the superintendent's office. And I want to put a college and trade schools into Rickards High School with making a new Rickards High School and moving schools around.
Number one is to increase career opportunities for our students. Number two is to add additional industry-level certifications for all of our students. Number three is to continue a sound safety plan to keep our children safe. Number four would be to increase compensation with teachers, staff, the entire team, the entire system that we have in place. And number five, to continue to offer more multiple pathways so students will have the opportunity to graduate. And we're down to 1% dropout rate. We need to do more, make sure we keep every one of our children in school.
How do you contend with the reality that Rickards High School is already forced to build upwards, unlike schools like Leon and Lincoln, because its plot of land is limited, and the fact that this is making the school increasingly unreceptive to handicapped students?
Well, you know, one of the issues that we've talked about is when schools were built, brings issues related to construction. The plan actually is not to walk away from any facilities. We want to take Fairview and move Fairview to Rickards. It will be one of the largest middle schools that we have. And that way we will still use the building, and we'll take Pace that's on the hill from Fairview and move that into Fairview with another site too. So that's part of the reason why we need to build a new Southside High School. And also what I'd like to do is to build outside of the high school a separate workforce development wing with an industry-level certification. And that way you can get double funding on students that participate in workforce at the same time. And I'm not talking about vocational. I'm talking about high wage. You know, I'm talking about programs like engineering and aviation and industry-level certification that will create jobs in our community for our children.
Handicapped accessible could easily be incorporated in the new school we built.
Short of committing $60 million which I still believe is fiscally irresponsible,
is
to go to the existing site and for me to get more information about how can we do, what can we do at that site at Fairview and at other schools. Again, I am committed to making our South Side schools look like our North Side schools.
I have to just say thank you. We are out of time. It has been a pleasure. I appreciate you coming. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.